ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 17th चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड मदर पार्वती कर्सस चित्रकेतु टेक्स्ट नंबर 30। अविवेककृतः पुंसो कृता पुंसो अविवेककृतः पुंसो हि अर्थ भेद इवात्मनि गुणदोष विकल्पश्च विद एव सजीवत्कृतः As one mistakenly considers a flower garland to be a snake, or experiences happiness and distress in a dream, so in the material world, by a lack of careful consideration, we differentiate between happiness and distress, considering one good and the other bad. Purport. The happiness and distress of the material world of duality are both mistaken ideas. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya 4.176, it is said, Dvaite bhadra bhadra gyan sabo mano dharma, yehi bhalo yehi manda yehi sab brahma. The distinctions between happiness and distress in the material world of duality are simply mental concoction. For the so-called happiness and distress are actually one and the same. They are like the happiness and distress in dreams. A sleeping man creates his happiness and distress by dreaming, although actually they have no existence. The other example given in this verse is that a flower garland is originally very nice, but by mistake, for want of mature knowledge, one may consider it a snake. In this connection, there is a statement by Prabodhananda Saraswati. Vishvam purna sukhayate. Everyone in this material world is distressed by miserable conditions. But Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati says that this world is full of happiness. How is this possible? He answers, Yat karunaya kataksh vaibhavatam tam gauram evastumaha. A devotee accepts the distress of this material world as happiness only due to the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. By his personal behavior, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed that he was never distressed but was always happy in chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. One should follow in the footsteps of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and engage constantly in chanting the Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Then he will never feel the distresses of the world of duality. In any condition of life, one will be happy if he chants the holy name of the Lord. In dreams, we sometimes enjoy eating sweet rice and sometimes suffer as if one of our beloved family members had died. Because the same mind and body exist in the same material world of duality. When we are awake, the so-called happiness and distress of this world are no better than the false superficial happiness of dreams. The mind is the via medium in both dreams and wakefulness, and everything created by the mind in terms of sankalpa and vikalpa, acceptance and rejection, is called manodharma or mental concoction. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya. As one mistakenly considers a flower garland to be a snake, or experiences happiness and distress in a dream, so in the material world, by a lack of careful consideration, we differentiate between happiness and distress, considering one good and the other bad. So, in today's purport, Srila Prabhupada is very beautifully explaining that the concept of happiness or distress in the material world, as given an example in the translation, that when a person considers the flower garland, which is originally very nice, but then because he mistakes or because of want of mature knowledge, he may consider the same flower garland to be a snake. That means this flower garland, which may potentially give enjoyment or happiness, can, because of some lack of mature knowledge or by some mistaken ideas, may also consider to be like a threat. But then he says, Prabhupada says, that Prabhupada and Saraswati saying that everyone is in material world distressed, but the devotee, he considers the world to be full of happiness. And how this happens? It is only happening because yat karunaya kataksha vaibhavatam tam gauram. A devotee accepts a distressful condition in the material world only due to the causeless mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this understanding of how the material world becomes a happy place can be understood when, like for example, in our own life, we see that it's just an analogy given, it's not exactly reality, that when we are new in devotional service and so ecstatic to assist devotees in Krishna consciousness, because we are told to do something and we have to do it. But as we progress and then more responsibilities are given, instead of assisting, now we become in charge, then it's more difficult, little rather. So, of course, as an in charge also, we should remember that we are still assisting Srila Prabhupada and Srila Guru Maharaj. But the point is, in the material world, when a person forgets that he is assisting the Supreme Lord, but becomes a controller, then all this monodharma comes, because he's trying to control. So therefore happiness and distress comes into picture, which is material. But a person, when he assists, no matter what happens, happiness or distress, he is always happy, because he knows that I am under someone, he is taking care of me. So in this case here, Srila Prabhupada is very nicely glorifying that a devotee is considering even distress to be happiness. Now today we will try to throw some light on this particular aspect based on Nectar of Devotion. Once I was reading a story of a German scholar who read many scriptures from different traditions. And then when he read Bhagavad Gita, he mentioned that this scripture is really a scripture, gem of scriptures. And his explanation was that whenever I read any scripture, they would always promise a practitioner that you can make this material world a better place. But when I read Bhagavad Gita, he said, I saw Krishna is telling to Arjuna that tolerate this place. Don't try to make this place a better place. But this place is a distressful place. Happiness and distress are like seasons changing. You have to tolerate. So we see that there are two levels of people in this world. One is one who are trying to enjoy the material world, and therefore they are experiencing material happiness and material distress. And then a second level of people who are devotees, who are told to tolerate the material world and continue their practice of devotional service. But amazingly, today in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is expressing one more level of devotee who is saying that this material world is a very happy place. So how to reconcile, how to understand? Well, it's very easy to understand if you refer Nectar of Devotion. Nectar of Devotion is very beautifully explaining different types of levels of a devotee. The sadhana bhakti and the bhava bhakti and finally the prem bhakti. So in the Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami is giving the six characteristics of pure devotional service. The first is Kleshagni, relief from material distress. Second is Shubhada, all auspiciousness. Third is sudhurlabha, rare. Fourth is moksha laguta krit, deriding liberation. Fifth, sandrananda vishesh atma, that is experience happiness which is incalculable. And sixth is krishna akarshini, that means Krishna himself is attracted. Now if you refer to Nectar of Devotion, Srila Rupa Goswami mentions that this six characteristics of pure devotional service are not theoretical. It is experienced by a devotee when he practices pure devotional service. So the first two stage, that is the Kleshagni and the Shubhada part, is experienced in the Sadhana Bhakti stage. When a person is in a Sadhana Bhakti stage, you will see, you will realize that how devotional service is giving relief to him from all kinds of material distress. And second, he will also realize in a Sadhana Bhakti stage that how pure devotional service is all auspicious. And then when one goes ahead in the Bhava Bhakti stage, the next two stage, including the previous one which we discussed now, comes. The next two stages, a person feels, or rather he understands, how rare this Krishna consciousness is which I have received. And then the fourth one which he experiences in Bhava Bhakti is moksha lagutakrit. That means he derides liberation also. And the prema bhakti stage, when a person, when a devotee reaches, then he that time experiences incalculable bliss even while staying in the material world. Sandrananda vishesh atma. And finally then his devotional service is so potent that it attracts Krishna's attention. So if you see one by one the stages, we can see that how when we practice sadhana bhakti, initially we have to tolerate. So that can be considered to be Kleshagni stage, relief from material distress. So Srila Prabhupada very nicely enunciates in the Bhakti Nectar of Devotion commentary of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that what has happened at Kleshagni stage, at a stage of relief from all distress. There is a gradual relief from all sinful reactions and also the sinful proclivity, and above all the ignorance. Srila Prabhupada says that all sins are caused because of ignorance. The root cause of all sin is because of ignorance. So ignorance is there and a person commits sinful activity, and that sinful activity in turn causes him to perform more sinful activities. So the sinful proclivity or the tendency to sin continues. Srila Rupa Goswami says that at the sadhana bhakti stage, the pure devotional service practiced by a sadhaka can destroy all distress, all pains. First of all, it will destroy the ignorance by the knowledge of Krishna consciousness. When a person understands that he is not the body, he is spirit soul, and everything is Krishna's enjoyment, for Krishna's enjoyment. So ignorance is removed. All the past sinful activities which are now yet to be fructified, they will be removed. And above all, Srila Rupa Goswami also says that even those sinful activities which are matured now, which we can see happening in our life, called as prarabdha technically, even that will also be eradicated if Krishna wants. Like for example, like Govind Prabhu was mentioning this Nectar of Devotion classes, that sometimes something is very prominently seen in a person's life, which cannot be removed, but even that can be removed by devotional service. Like someone is having a disease, very difficult to eradicate that disease, but if Krishna wants, he can remove the disease also. Like for example, someone has leprosy, by Krishna consciousness, leprosy can go away. The example was given is of Vasudev the leper. His leprosy went just by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu embracing him. Someone is having a body which is not beautiful. His body can become beautiful by Krishna consciousness. Kubja is the example. Her body was not so good. She was hunched back. But Krishna made her more beautiful by her touch. And someone is poor, he can become rich by Krishna consciousness. The example is that of Sudama Brahman. He became rich by Krishna's mercy. Now, it can happen, or it can happen externally, and Srila Prabhupada also says it can also happen on a consciousness level. That means a person may remain poor, or remain ugly, or remain uneducated, or remain a leper, but his suffering will go away. Ultimately, what is important? The distress which is there, which we are experiencing. So Krishna consciousness may keep the externals as they are, but remove the internal consciousness and change it. In the case of Sridhar Kaluvej, he remained poor, but his consciousness was not that of a poor man. Vasudeva leper, before he was cured, he was having leprosy, but he was not. His consciousness was completely different. So who decides? So I was hearing a lecture of His Holiness Kadamkana Maharaj on Nectar of Devotion, and he was mentioning that Krishna decides to eradicate externally, or Krishna keeps it based on individual devotee, because Krishna is a person. Krishna is not mechanical. So Krishna decides that by his eradication of his disease or his distress, if his Krishna consciousness is improving, Krishna gives it. But if he sees that his Krishna consciousness might not improve, Krishna keeps it. So ultimate end is always good in a devotee's case. But it depends on Krishna, how he deals. Now sometimes we meet devotees while preaching Krishna consciousness, and they say that, Prabhuji, after I have come to Krishna consciousness, my distress has increased all the more. So what about that? What to speak of eradicating and keeping, it is increased more. So Maharaj was explaining, Kadamkana Maharaj, that the example of an intoxicated person. When a person is intoxicated, he does not realize where is he, what is he doing. So he may trip down, fall down, and we get hurt. The blood is oozing out, and it's getting scratches everywhere. He falls down gutter, but still he is not realizing till he comes out of his intoxication. And then he suddenly realizes, oh, it's paining here, blood is coming out here. So Maharaj was explaining that a person who is in materialistic life, he is compared to an intoxicated person. He is getting distress, but he may not realize it. But when it comes to Krishna consciousness, he understands that now he is in distress. So many times we feel that before Krishna consciousness I was happy, but that was all manodharma, as Prabhupada says here. It was all mental concoction of happiness. When we come to Krishna consciousness, we realize we are not happy, we were in distress. And the process of Krishna consciousness works on us. And that process of Krishna consciousness may look initially to be a process of too much of distress, discipline, but actually it's a good process. An example given is that of a patient who is admitted in a hospital because of TB. And such a person might be given IV, saline, or a diet, or a restriction not to go anywhere, confined in a room. So the patient might think, before coming to hospital, I was happy. But now I am more distressed. Is the patient more in distress? No. He's getting cured. So Krishna consciousness may look like IV or confinement to a room or taking a medicine, controlled diet. But actually it's good, because later the things will improve. But for a person who has never come to hospital, he will continue to live outside and suffer perpetually more and more and more. So therefore, Krishna consciousness gives relief, and that happens on a sadhana bhakti stage. Kleshagni. The second is Shubhada. At the Shubhada stage, a devotee experiences auspiciousness in his life. And Srila Prabhupada says that a devotee can see that how Krishna consciousness is benefiting him, and also he also sees that how Krishna consciousness can benefit others and attracts others. And all saintly qualities start manifesting in devotee's life. At this stage, a devotee considers that how the Krishna conscious happiness is superior to other happiness. And at this stage, the happiness of liberation, happiness of sense gratification, all is experienced by a devotee. Everything experienced by a devotee within Krishna consciousness. And one time Srila Prabhupada was giving a very nice lecture, and he mentioned a very beautiful point. It was in New York, July 27th, 1971, and he's mentioning this Krishna conscious boys and girls in 60 centers, just see how they are materially opulent. They are living in the best house. They are eating the best food. They are in best consciousness. They have got the best hope. Everything is best. Their feature of the body is also best. What do you want material happiness more than this? Prabhupada is saying. So material happiness is nothing to a Krishna conscious person. He gets automatically by grace of Krishna. There is no need of asking for it. Simply be steady to ask Krishna, please engage me in your service. So our idea is how Krishna should be satisfied. Then your satisfaction will automatically come. Don't bother for material happiness. So this is Shubhada, where a person by practicing Krishna consciousness is experiences auspiciousness. After Shubhada comes Sudurlabha, where a person becomes convinced that how Krishna consciousness is very rare. We may all know theoretically at sadhana stage that it is rare, but actually a person realizes that how rare and that how he is so fortunate to be one of the rarest to get Krishna consciousness. And the fourth, which comes on the bhava stage, the third and fourth, the rarity and the fourth is moksha laguta krit, deriding liberation. Deriding liberation is very difficult in sadhana bhakti stage because what actually happens is we want liberation at different stages. We do not want liberation to go actually merge in Brahman, but we want liberation, some breaks, some kind of reliefs, too much of devotional service, some break I want. So there is also kind of a unique liberation, a subtle kind of liberation, trying a break from Krishna consciousness. Of course, a different kind of Krishna consciousness. But the point is, a devotee at that stage, a bhava stage, actually derives liberation, even at subtle level also. Moksha laguta krit. And at the prema bhakti stage, sandharananda visheshatma, at that stage, a devotee at prema bhakti experiences happiness in this material world. And that happiness is incalculable. Condensed bliss. Sandharananda visheshatma is compared to condensed bliss. So bliss itself is something amazing, but condensed bliss is something more amazing. Sweet rice is amazing, but condensed sweet rice is more amazing. So sandharananda visheshatma is like prema bhakti stage. And finally, Krishna akarshani. Our devotional service attracts Krishna. That means when you perform devotional service, Krishna is attracted by our devotional service. That is prema bhakti stage. Of course, it doesn't mean that in sadhana bhakti, our devotional service does not attract Krishna. It attracts Krishna, definitely, but then there are different levels. But when we come to prema bhakti stage, when we perform devotional service, Krishna will drop anything for our devotional service. Krishna has to come. And the epitome of all is Srimati Radharani. Her devotional service attracts Krishna. Krishna will go to any level just to reach her. And the Pandavas example is given, that how Krishna gave up everything just so that he could come and sit, be near Pandavas. So Krishna was attracted by the devotional service, Sandharananda Visheshatma. So this is different stages of pure devotional service characteristics. So what actually happens is a devotee slowly, gradually rises from sadhana bhakti stage, bhava bhakti stage and prema bhakti stage. And then he realizes at that stage that the material world is full of happiness. Vishvam purna sukhayate. Prabodhananda Saraswati is at the stage of prema bhakti. And therefore he is realizing Vishvam purna sukhayate. But Srila Prabhupada gives another shortcut, where he mentions that this stage of pure devotional service is a gradual stage, but one can progress very rapidly and fast when yat karunaya kataksh vaibhavatam, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's merciful glance falls on us, that Vishvam purna sukhayate, even now at this stage, where a person will realize that this material world is happy place. You will be happy performing devotional service. It is all because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. So, I came across a lecture of Srila Prabhupada in New Vrindavan, 1971, Srila Prabhupada is speaking on this verse of Prabhudananda Saraswati, that how a devotee realizes Vishwam Purna Sukhayati in Krishna consciousness movement today. Srila Prabhupada very beautifully says initially that how everyone is trying to achieve sense gratification and be happy, independent of Krishna. But on the other hand, a devotee is trying to satisfy Krishna and become happy. Prabhupada says in that lecture that Ravan, his concept was to become wealthy and happy without the cooperation with Lord Ram. That means people wanted Ram Rajya without Ram. The benefits of Ram Rajya, but Lord Ram should not be there. So Prabhupada says that you may see that Ravana was very comfortable. Every facility he had got. Prabhupada said he had Swarna Lanka. Every house in his kingdom was full of gold. Ravana had all facilities. But how long that facility lasted? Not much time. As soon as his activities were geared against Krishna, against Lord Ram, immediately what happened? Everything was destroyed. So even though a person may become successful in the material world without Krishna consciousness, there is no guarantee of how much it will last. Ravan lost everything because he went against Lord Ram. And Prabhupada went on to mention that Ravan had many influences. He had influence of Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva also could not protect. Parvati Devi was urging Lord Shiva, what is this? Ravan is every day performing puja to you. He is asking for help. Won't you go and help him? And Lord Shiva told Parvati Devi that Lord Ram has decided to kill him. I can't do anything. So even at having all kinds of influences will not help a person. He's doomed to fail in his life. On the other hand, a devotee of Krishna consciousness, he knows, Mare Krishna Rakhe Kon, Rakhe Krishna Mare Kon. If a Krishna wants to protect me, who can destroy me? And therefore, the single most thing in a devotee's life, Srila Prabhupada says, is to please Krishna. That is the only thing. His whole activities are geared to please Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada asked, so you want to know how to please Krishna? And Srila Prabhupada says that there is a very simple formula of how to please Supreme Lord Krishna by preaching. Prabhupada says, Ya idam paramam guhyam mad bhakteshu abhidhasyati nachatasman manushyechu kashin me priyakrittama. A person who takes risk and trouble of preaching this confidential philosophy of the Gita is very dear to me. Lord Krishna, Srila Prabhupada is saying. And Srila Prabhupada says, why this is very confidential? Because Bahunam Janmaramanti. Even if it is there, no one wants it. No, people are not aware of Krishna consciousness. People do not want it. There is so much of ignorance. And therefore, many people will not take. Therefore, it's confidential. But devotees are so much geared to pleasing Krishna that still they go and try to give Krishna consciousness to others. And that makes them very dear in the eyes of Krishna. Because it is confidential. Bahunam Janmanamante. It is so difficult. People after many lives will take up. But still, they are going and through various means trying to trick people to take up Krishna consciousness. And therefore, that makes a devotee more dear to Krishna. So Prabhupada said, therefore, if you want to please Krishna, we have to take this risk on behalf of Guru and Krishna. And Prabhupada says, Prabhupada gives his own example. Prabhupada initially says, my spiritual masters took so much of risk for the work of preaching. And he inspired me also to take risk of preaching. So we are all imploring you to take this preaching work. So you have to start preaching, Prabhupada is urging. And Prabhupada says that one may say, think that, oh, I am not qualified for preaching. And Prabhupada tells that you don't have to be a philosopher or a great scholar to start preaching. Even a simple young boy can start preaching. All he has to do is go door to door and urge people to take up Krishna consciousness. Please take up Krishna consciousness. Take this book, read this book. That's so simple. And then Prabhupada mentions that there's a technique of preaching also, which every preacher should take up. And Prabhupada quotes Prabhudananda Saraswati's one more verse. where he says that how Prabodhananda Saraswati is saying that when you approach a learned man, initially you flatter him. You are so learned, you are so beautiful, so aristocratic, everything is so good about him that he will become very much mellow towards you. When everything is done, when all glorification is done, then you tell him, but I'll tell you one thing, you give up all this nonsense. And then you take up Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, accept it. That is more glorious. So the technique is humility. A preacher should be humble in approaching others, trying to give Krishna consciousness, and then tell them in a mood of submission to accept Krishna consciousness. So is it difficult, Prabhupada asks? Is it difficult? It's not difficult. In humble mood, just preach whatever you know. That is preaching. And then what you should preach? You should preach that if you become Krishna conscious, then what happened? Kaivalyam narakayate tridashpur akash pushpayate sarpa kala sarpa protkata damstayate. Prabhupada then mentions another Prabhupada answers with this verse, that when a person becomes Krishna conscious, then what happens? He derives liberation, moksha lagutakrit, at bhava stage. He derives liberation. He considers liberation to be hellish. Kaivalya narakayati. Bilomangal Thakur says, Mukti soyam mukalitanjali sevate asman. That means Mukti Devi is standing at the doorsteps and she is whispering and she is giving a lot of signals, trying to attract attention of devotee. I am here. Please engage me in your service. Janinavaspu was here and he was mentioning that in Navadvip Mahatmaya, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he is going to through Navadvip. I read Navadvip Mahatmaya, some book on Navadvip. Bhakti Vinod Thakur writes, he mentioned that when he is touring Navadvip, he is seeing all the places personified. So he mentioned that how he saw Ganga Devi, and then how he saw different kunds or different deities. Lord Shiva is there, Bhishma Devi meets. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur is going, and he suddenly meets a very beautiful, well-decorated lady. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur asks, who are you? And she says, I am Mukti Devi. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, why are you here? What can I do? Till Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended in the material world, everyone is after me. But now everyone has left me and they have come to Navadvip to take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I have come here to advertise myself. Get some people for my canvas, my advertisement. So, person derives liberation. Kaivalya narakayate. Tridashapur akasha pushpayate. Tridashapur means the planets, higher planets. Tridashapur. So Prabhupada says there are 33 million demigods and there are 33 million planets. That is Tridashapur akasha pushpayate. But what is Tridashapur akasha pushpayate? The Tridashapur is akasha pushpayate. So it is a phantasmagoria. And in Sanskrit, phantasmagoria is said in a very beautiful way. It is called as Akash Pushpa. In Sanskrit, it is called Akash Pushpa, flower in the sky. And Prabhupada says in Bengal, it is called as Ghoda Dimba, egg of a horse. It is only imaginary. So Prabhupada says, people are trying today to elevate to higher planets, either by Sputnik or maybe some rituals, some sacrifices. They want to go there, but what they will go there? What they will do by going there? There is death still. They may get a big lifespan, but what is the use? They're going to die still. They're going to be miserable still. So why go there? Because there is no change of anything in life. Only some expanse. The lifespan is increased. And better sense objects, better sense gratificatory objects are there. So therefore, Tridashapur Akasha Pushpayate. Therefore, devotee rejects that. He doesn't want. And Prabhupada says, the yogis, they want siddhis. And then for siddhis, what they do? They control their mind and senses. So, because they know that this mind and senses, they are compared to serpents. And Prabhupada says, serpent means danger. If you come near a serpent, you are in dangerous condition because you don't know what will happen. So, the yogis are trying to, being afraid of the senses, which are like serpents, they're trying to control their senses and achieve siddhis. But for a devotee, these serpents, Prabhupada says, serpents are dangerous as long as they have poison. But if you remove the poisonous fangs, there is no danger. For a devotee, by practicing Krishna consciousness, what happens? This poisonous fangs is removed. So even though senses are there, the mind is there, they are no longer dangerous. Why? Because he is now engaging that mind and senses in Krishna's service. So therefore there is no fear. And ultimately what happens? Vishvam Purna Sukhayati. And in this way, a devotee realizes that his material world is also a nice place. A devotee feels that I am not in a distressful place. It's a very beautiful place, a nice place, because I am getting a chance here to practice Krishna consciousness, to engage in service of Krishna. And Prabhupada adds that a devotee sees that the whole material world is full of problems. But then he has no problem because he knows this material world is not mine, it is Krishna. So the material world is problem, it is whose problem? Krishna's problem. Why I have to worry? It is Krishna's problem, it is not my problem. I am just depending on Krishna. And Prabhupada gives the example of Arjuna. Krishna told Arjuna, Nimitta Matra Bhava Savya Sachi. You become my instrument. And told Arjuna, already the result is declared. You just become an instrument. So therefore, the end result is all same for every devotee. Success. That is secret of success. The end result is always guaranteed by Krishna. Just that we have to become an instrument in the hands of Krishna and practice devotional service. And then Vidhi Mahendra Shakitayati. Prabhupada mentions, Vidhi Mahendra Shakitayati means even Brahmaji's position and Indra's position is like the position of an ant. And Srila Prabhupada says, therefore we openly on the basis of Krishna consciousness even deride great people. And Prabhupada laughs and says that sometimes people criticize me that why you are openly criticizing other yogis and philosophers and scientists, you tell them rascals and fools. And Prabhupada says because they are rascals and fools. And Krishna says, mudhas. And therefore on the basis of Krishna consciousness, because I know that they are useless people, they are good for nothing. Vidhi Mahendrasya Kitayate. They are like ants. And therefore on the basis of Krishna's declaration, we declare that they are useless. Only Krishna consciousness is for us. So Prabhupada then says, therefore our point is to please the Supreme Personality of God, Godhead. So all this Vishvam Purna Sukhayate, Kaivalyam Narkayate, Tridashpur Akash Vapushpayate, the serpents become poisonless. This will happen when simply by little merciful glance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu falls in us. Simply if Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approves our activity, well, this man is doing nice. Oh, then you get all the success. Simply if he approves, Yad Karunaya Kataksha. So if you want to please the Supreme Lord, if you want to please Krishna, if you want to please Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then Prabhupada says, just like in this verse, Prabhupada is referring to the verse, that Narad Muni is telling Vyasdev, simply glorify Krishna. Similarly, we should all preach. Amazing. Srila Prabhupada was giving the lecture in New Vrindavan, which is a form community. Srila Prabhupada is urging, should preach Krishna consciousness. So therefore, we find that there is a normal stage of devotional service, sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti and prema bhakti, wherein one realizes eventually vishvam purna sukhayate, moksha lagutakrit, kaivalya narakayate. But if Srila Prabhupada gives, somehow or other one pleases Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then what will happen? Such a person can experience this, all these things immediately. That's a very fast process. Krishna consciousness is already a fast process compared to other processes. But even that fast process can be superlatively, speed can increase by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. And this can be all done provided we all preach Krishna consciousness. That is the sum and substance of this verse. Hare Krishna. Any comments? Do you want to add something? Any questions? Hare Krishna. So we'll end here. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki? Srila Prabhupada ki jai.